I know that you all have memorized the Gospel of John, so you remember that last week was very similar to this week, yes? Just nod, it makes me feel good. Yeah. Last week, we heard a little bit about Jesus talking about abiding and how God was abiding in Jesus, and therefore God was abiding in all. Yes? Remember that? It's all coming back to you now, right? Okay, because I can do that sermon too for you if you want me to do two today. No? Okay. Who said yes? Ah, oh, okay. Oh, did you say, because you weren't here last week, yeah. So last week, we had to wrap our heads around the notion that God is dwelling within each and every person, each and every part of creation. And then today's reading really then taps into, once we've gotten that concept, what are we supposed to do with it, right? Now that's the hard part, that's the mandate. The first part was the nice lovey part, and now it's like, now go do the work, right? But what does it mean to love everybody? What's this? Is this the answer to my question? Really? We love God, we are good people, we are loving people. Dang. Now I don't have a sermon to give. Always after my job, you guys. Do you think that we're supposed to love every person in the world?
Yeah.
We are? Even people we don't like?
Yeah.
Even people who are mean to us?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to do that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
By showing that we care that they're alive and they're a human being. Well, actually.
So you actually have an answer.
With God's help.
See you later, I'm done.
Yeah, it's... Why do I stay up, like, writing sermons? Anyway, so you bring up a good point, that we need to show folks, even if we don't like them, even if they're mean to us, yeah? Is that hard to do?
Sometimes.
Sometimes? Grown-ups?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know more than we do, just so you know. When I was in and Bridget, I'm going to take that back. I just kind of tossed it so that everybody would see that dramatic thing, okay? Yeah. So when I was in school, I don't remember what part of school it was, but it was elementary or high school. I remember asking, what, really, that's funny to you? It's a big... You haven't been here long, and yet you're sort of having the same attitude that everybody else in this church has, Tiffany. I'm just saying, Brittany, I would ask the question, what does it mean that we're supposed to love everyone? How are we supposed to do that? And I remember one of my favorite nuns, it was high school, thanks, saying, well, Christian love means pretty much what Evelyn just said. Christian love means that you don't wish anyone harm, that you wish them well. Not bad, right? And that was satisfactory for a while, right? But there are some pretty hefty stinkers out there that make it very difficult to show them that we care, let alone wish them well. Right? So we're back to that question again. What does it mean to love one another? It's your turn to answer. So do no harm. So similar to what the Sister Mary Beth told me and what Evelyn just shared. Okay. Do no harm. What else you got? Nancy.
So, what's the
right?
Which in every
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. They don't know they're good yet.
So that's sort of what I think, that if we don't love that part of God that's in that person, then it never has a chance to get out.
Okay.
So we have to,
but how? Well, I hope not. That's a start with the do no harm thing. Okay, how does this congregation demonstrate honoring the God in each person? What do we do here? Acceptance. What else? Support each other. Mm-hmm. The lowest form of love. Tolerance. Okay. There's a paper in there somewhere, Phil, I'm pretty sure. Anybody else? How do we do it? Well, we try to do it through our missions, correct? I mean, obviously the things you've named are things we do for one another. But we also try to do it in our missions. And there's a trying to understand how it is we are supposed to be in the world in such a way that we are demonstrating that the love of God abides in us and we recognize that the Spirit and the love of God abides in each person, right? So we tried to do that, wouldn't you say? Yes. You must serve on the Just Peace Church Committee, Cayenne. It's a tough thing to do, and it's a tough thing to understand. On the basic level, if we see somebody standing on the street corner that has a sign that says anything helps, we struggle with that, don't we? Do we give, do we not give? I'm going to tell you a story. There was a church, pretty well-to-do church, very involved congregation, very deep pockets, lots of committees. Can't have a good Protestant church without committees. And their mission group was so much a part of their ethos that they had a working budget of close to $30,000 a year. And that was just part of their budget. And the committee would come together and they would really try to figure out, what are we going to do with this money? To whom do we give it? And how do we share it? And what purpose will it serve? Now, we've talked about toxic charity here, right? We've talked about giving money to organizations or to situations or to individuals where we are actually becoming perpetrators of whatever it is that they are experiencing in the world that's oppressing them, right? And I think that's the struggle when we see somebody on a street corner. It's really difficult to know, are we helping or hurting? And this mission group really, really wanted to do good. But they didn't necessarily understand that some of the things that they thought they were doing to help was really about making them feel better, right? You've heard about the churches in Nicaragua that get painted 20 times because they need a mission group, need something to do when they come down, right? And so they weren't really sure what it is that that their purpose was. Well, I should say they were sure, but they weren't sure. In fact, their biggest conflict was about, well, who's going to be the chair this year? We need a new chairperson to run this committee, okay? And so even though they entered this whole conversation with big hearts and souls and a desire to do well in the world. They really weren't grasping the concept of what it is it meant to love one another. Now, the other piece of that is that they didn't really want to have the conversation on what it meant to love one another. They had decided how they were going to do it, and that's how they were going to do it. You've heard of things like this, right? And so you have folks with big hearts who believe that they are demonstrating love for other, for the other, and really what they're doing is taking care of themselves. When we listen to this notion of doing justice and loving kindness or mercy and walking humbly, we really have to flip that reading a little bit, at least for this conversation. It's really important that we take a look at what it means to walk humbly first. When we say we're going to walk humbly with God, what we're saying is, okay, what is it you want us to do? Not we're going to do it and we'll tell you that it's what you want, but first you tell us what you want. And from that place of humility, from that place of walking with God, we can then really sort of wrap our heads around this idea of doing justice and loving kindness, because it's not coming from us now, right? It's coming from the divine. There was a woman, her name was Kathleen. That really wasn't her name, but I'm not going to tell you what her real name was. So Kathleen sort of sat on the periphery of this particular mission group that I just described to you. In other words, she loved throwing parties. And she loved doing things that we would see as being very, very hospitable. And she sort of sat on the outskirts of this group. And she wanted to be involved, like I said, on her terms. But she really wasn't sure how she could fit into that. Now, while she was trying to figure out how she was going to fit into throwing her parties and make it a part of missions, I think our missions groups would love a party, don't you think? Sidebar, sorry, squirrel. This church also had a justice and peace group. Okay? Now, this justice and peace group couldn't figure out what their identity was, because one person wanted to protest for every stinking thing that showed up. Okay? So she was going to protest guns, she was going to protest immigration, she was going to protest whatever was required of her. And then go home. And then go home. Somebody else just wanted to say, well, we just need to get more people to vote. Somebody else just wanted to grow a community garden because she liked gardening, and she thought that that would be a nice thing. And then they could sell and make money for the church. But because they could not agree on what it meant to be part of a social justice group, that group was not thriving. So there was a plan. Well, let's bring the two groups together. Let's bring missions and social justice together. At which point, Kathleen, well, that makes no sense whatsoever. Why would you do that? Why do you need social justice? That's too political. We're doing missions. Why would you bring in a social justice group to be part of missions? And social justice said, you're right. We don't want to be part of them. We're our own group. So there. And mission said, well, you could join us, but you have to do what we do. You know, it is not uncommon that in churches that there are two separate groups, that there is a mission group and there is a social justice group, and never the two shall cross. And yet, these two concepts are intimately woven into the fabric of what it means to love one another as I have loved you. Anybody want to guess why? Why social justice and missions are interconnected?
Oh.
No. No, she'll tell you next week.
What is mission if it's not social justice? And what is social justice if it's not in the mud with mission?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I do. Go ahead, Phil. What were you going to say?
Our mission should be social justice.
Huh. Say more. Yes, Anna. Say more. Can you give an example?
All right, this is kind of a weird one.
Do it. No, you're doing great. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're good. You know, it's if we go back to the person on the corner who's asking for money, whether we give them something or not falls into that wrestling that we have with what is missions and how do we do this in the world. What makes it social justice is asking the question, say again, what is he doing on the corner to begin with? What is happening in our world that people have to stand on street corners to ask for money? We can put together a box of food, which we've done recently for One Nation, right? One Nation Walking Together, so that can go off to the res. And that's missions. That's immediate ministry. But it is not long term if we don't ask the question, well, why do they need us to collect food for them? Why don't they have enough to begin with? Right? We can stand up for a person of color who is being yelled at or who's being called names or arrested for something they didn't do. But what good is that if we don't then follow it with, well, why were they chosen instead of me? Right? We can make a comment about a person or help a person who is struggling up the steps of a state building because they only have one limb. But if we don't ask the question, well, why do they have to use the steps? You see, one really calls on us to get involved in things in an immediacy. And it's a struggle. We are going to still walk out of here today and meet people on the street corner and wonder what we should do. But we have to follow up that wrestling with, why are they there to begin with? If we are being called to help others, to love one another as we have been loved, that's great. And we should do it. But just giving them something in the immediacy without asking the question, why is the need there to begin with, is problematic. Because one is a band-aid and one really works toward changing systems that oppress. And so really, no church, no organization should exist or have in its existence the difference between missions and social justice. We are talking about moving into a place of becoming a just peace church, but really, we should be there already. Our attitude should be such that, well, I will help you here down at Los Pobres with some beans and rice, but I have to ask why it is you are afraid to go shopping for that beans and rice yourself, and the answer, of course, is, well, you're undocumented and you'll be deported. These are so intricately woven that we do a disservice to the mandate of loving one another as we have been loved if we try to separate them from one another. Because one, except for the wrestling of the person on the corner, is really easy, right? I can write a check. I can say, well, I'll come over there and read to you today, but then I get to go home. But the other one really calls on us to become actively involved in whatever it will take to change the system that oppresses another one of God's living creatures. And so if you thought it was difficult to wrap your head around the idea of the indwelling of God's Spirit and love within, now I'm going to dare you to wrap your mind around the idea of, and now you have to go forward and change the systems that keep other people from recognizing that they are just as loved. Let the people say, Amen.